Hey, welcome back in the final hour of the radio program. Good morning. Hello. Dirt and Sprague. In on the Monday after the July 4th weekend. This guy will be back tomorrow.
I love meat.
And that might not be good news for one.
Bad news, Dirt.
So full strength tomorrow, but we got a Breezy and Sprague edition here hanging out. And we've talked a lot about the World Cup, talked a lot of Blazers, put some poll questions up. We've had some fun today. How many hot dogs did you consume on the 4th of July weekend? Let's start there with our good friend Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter. Read the newsletter, subscribe to the newsletter, also works for the AP. Let's start there, Gundy. How was your 4th? How many hot dogs did you consume?
You know, I really was glizzy maxing the weekend prior, and I grilled some chicken this weekend. So did some chicken thighs on the grill. So did not do any dogs this weekend, but I definitely got some. I got some Oktoberfest from Mount Angel a couple weekends ago, and man, those I love those. So those Mount Angel Oktoberfest sausages, I had quite a few of those.
Yeah, I hated to admit it, and I'm sad, but I could only do 3. I got to 3, and I was like, my stomach was like, dude, we're good. You don't need hot dogs normally. Like, I think you're good off 3. You don't need to get to 5. I had the 4th one ready, and I'm like, no, don't do it. Walk away. Walked away, ate some blueberries, called it good. It's really sad to admit this publicly, but I can't do more than 3, I think, in a day.
That's tough. And I agree with you, man. I can't either anymore. It used to be easy to put them down, but, you know, It's getting harder and harder these days. The stomach doesn't want the dogs.
I know. Yeah, the stomach's saying no thank you to the dogs. It's too much. You know what else the stomach's saying no thank you to? Rui Hachimura as a Blazer. You know what else the stomach's saying no to? Jaylen Brown as a Blazer. Trey Murphy as a Blazer. I talked about this earlier. I understand a lot of angles. You and I disagree sometimes. We text about hoops and the Blazer stuff. I have told myself, and I'm allowing the wiggle room of it's only July 6th, I have told myself mentally now, be ready for the Matisse Thybulle Vetmin sign, and oh, by the way, don't bank on those picks being traded. It'd be very Blazers to say, you know, 2028, the 8th pick in the draft could be very, very good for our budget, our sheet. And I think the NBA is telling us with the Jaylen Brown trade and some of the signings that the league is in largely kind of a saving money place, that people don't want to dole out these big contracts. And so Anthony Simons, you make whatever you want to say about him, 2 years, $12 million is insanely low to get a guy that could score 25 on a given night. I just think I'm prepared. I'm prepared that this is it. Matisse Thybulle's the move, and those picks that we long coveted of being good trade assets might never be traded. I might be going to a dark place for you. Where are you at now that Rui Hachimura is off the board?
Well, you know, it seems like staying in L.A. was kind of the priority for him. So if that's what Portland was dealing with, then it's kind of hard to, you know, be mad at them for not being able to get him. If the money's all the same and this guy doesn't want to move, then that's the conversation. I do think that, like, re-signing Robert Williams was an impressive thing, you know, given that there was a lot of interest around him, that, you know, there was rumors about the Lakers being interested, there was rumors about the Celtics being interested, and obviously those two teams both pursued other centers, the Lakers doing so in a much more expensive way with the Walker Kessler trade and contract. But, you know, I am not as down on not trading the picks, just because, like, when you're a smaller market like Portland, having those extra bites at the apple to get elite guys in the draft and or still save that. Let's see what happens with the Bucks. Like, let's say the Bucks, because right now they're running out here. They're going to the press conferences. We're going to be better than you think. Mm-hmm. They're winning the press conference. They're trying to tell people we're going to be good. We're going to compete. If that doesn't happen and they're not very good, all of a sudden the value of those picks goes up. And I do think that there's a lot of, I agree with you, there's a lot of cost awareness right now of everybody. And the Jaylen Brown trade is a great example of that. And teams don't want to pay max money to not one of the 15 best players in the NBA. And even if Jaylen Brown was one of those guys last year, like, I mean, it is a bit of a bummer because I got my hopes up about Jaylen Brown, and for him to get traded for 2 first round picks and a bad contract in Paul George, you know, as good as Paul George was in the games that he played last year, it's still a bad contract I wouldn't want to have. It's like $50 million a year. And I don't see a lot of difference between that deal and like Jeremy Grant and Shaedon Sharpe and the picks from Portland. But apparently they didn't value him, which, you know, gets into this whole analytics conversation, which, like, I think, you know, just repeating the numbers without any context to me is kind of missing the point about like the Jaylen Brown stuff. Like Jaylen Brown, the Celtics bench was really good. Jaylen Brown had to carry a crazy load, and like, someone could make a similar argument that Denny Avdija was somehow a negative for the Blazers, but we all know that would be BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm in the, let's see what they do with this mid-level exception. I think Matisse Thybulle on the minimum would be a great signing. I just do think they need to do more. I don't know who they look at. There's not a lot of guys left. I'm, you know, it's like, who else is out there?
Did you see it's the internet, so maybe I've been butt cracked. I don't look at the actual things with some of these stories. Did you see that according to one market, we're the favorite to land Zach LaVine?
Oh my God. Yeah, that one sent a chill down my spine. not gonna lie. Like that one sent a chill down my spine. I mean, hey,
we could bring Ja back. Why can't we make Zach LaVine finally a thing? We've only been trying to do it in the league for like a decade. Why can't we finally be the team that makes Zach LaVine a thing?
I know. It's like, you know, at a certain point, the subprime lending thing you have to evaluate these players as they are. And like, I don't see a world in which these guys trading for Zach LaVine is a good idea, given the fact that they have so many guards already. Like where is Shaedon going to get shots? And now you're going to bring in Zach LaVine, who's like older, you know, who's like just an older version of Shaedon, basically.
Yeah.
I don't see the vision there at all. Like, and I would be sick to my stomach if these guys traded Shaedon Sharpe for Zach LaVine.
Eric Gunnarsson, our guest here at Blazer Banters, where you can find him. Great newsletter. He's one of my favorites. Even if we're text disagreeing, I don't know if he's interpreting as me yelling at him, but I'm just enjoying it with a smile because I love talking hoops with him. You can follow him on Twitter, social media. He's got good basketball thoughts. Subscribe to the newsletter as well. Okay, so let's do the hypothetical conversation now. Let's just get in front of it. Let's say they don't use the mid-level. There's a few teams, I think, with mid-level room. Portland is one of them. And let's just say that they do just sign Matisse Thybulle, and that's it. And then they'll do the big press conference and Ja Morant holding up the one jersey. We just had the quick piece on it. How explain to me, as somebody that, like, I understand the trade itself. You just broke down the trade. Good trade. It's take a flyer on clear upside talent by giving away guys you don't want anymore. I totally get that. But let's add the context now of the roster. Now you've got 4 point guards. Now you got 5 guards in total, adding Shaedon. If all you do is sign a vet minimum wing that can be a little verse in guarding the 3, the 2, or the 4, can you walk me down? How does this even make sense? How, like, it's one thing to say they can win some games. It's another to be like, how are they better? How does this make sense where 89, 91, 99. We're talking usage rates of 3 of the 5 key players here. That's what they are. How does this work? How does this make sense to you?
I mean, offensively, I see the idea way more than I see it defensively. To me, the idea of starting a backcourt with Damian Lillard and Ja Morant, just cool. They might try it. There's no way I see that being a viable strategy for 82 games, especially when you've got Scoot Henderson and Drew Holiday, and Scoot, you know, being younger, like Scoot proved he could guard bigger guys. Like he can guard a 2 guard or even switch onto a 3 or a 4 if he has to, if they're going to try and post him up, because he's strong. He's got big hands. He can be disruptive defensively. I don't really see that from Ja Morant or Damian Lillard, and it's no fault of their own. It's their own. They have size limitations. And Ja too, the health thing, like that's the big thing for me. I mean, you're talking about a guy who I think he will, you know, when he plays, he can still do stuff, but he also has to like watch his own athleticism. Like he was saying, you know, during the season, like I'm not going to be able to, last year, like I can't dunk as much as I used to or dunk as hard as I used to, because the way he flies through the air at his size is an injury risk. Now, it could work offensively. Defensively is where I have the trouble, because that's where this team's strength has been. And maybe, I guess, the calculus is, hey, you bring in Ja Morant, this guy can create more off the ball. Dame's 36, or on the ball. Dame's 36. Denny, you know, really, his defense took a step back last year because he had to do so much offensively. If you can take some off his plate, maybe you get that defensive player that Denny was back. That's me trying to rationalize this. And also, I get the guards. I will say this. San Antonio just went to the finals playing four guard lineups.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but Fox is 6'3". Castle's what, 6'5", 6'6"? Harper's 6'6"? Like, I'm not saying you're not right, but also, like, we're talking Dame is 6'2". He's not a legit 6'3". You're talking about John Moran is 6', 160 pounds if he's soaking wet. You know, Scoot, to your credit, your point, like, he is strong. I don't think he can guard the three for very long, but, like, a couple possessions here or there. And Drew has always been kind of a combo guard more so than a traditional point. But, like, I think the difference there would just be kind of the sheer size of San Antonio. Like, Dylan Harper is a big, big dude.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, when I wrote on my blog after it, I thought about, you know, Minnesota. You know, they traded Naz Reid, who's a super versatile forward, you know, who can dribble, shoot threes, get the basket, guard big guys. They traded him for LaMelo Ball. But the thing about Minnesota, just like San Antonio, like you're saying, Ant and LaMelo makes way more sense defensively. LaMelo is 6'7". And so, like, this is where I have trouble with the trade is, like, it's not that it's not a in a vacuum, it's a good talent bet. Mm-hmm. I have trouble seeing where the fit is with Damian Lillard and what has been put out that this is gonna, it's gonna be the team that's gonna start. My immediate question is, so for how long? Because I don't know, and this is gonna put a lot of pressure on Donovan Clingan. It's gonna be a lot of pressure on Robert Williams. It's gonna put a lot of pressure on this Carlson fella who they brought in from Oklahoma City. Young Hansen, if he gets to play, like, these big guys are good. These big guys are going to be doing so much recovery work if they're, you know, their plates are going to be so full. And so I that's where I have trouble with it. Now, we were talking about free agents. One guy that I haven't heard connected to Portland or anything, but is apparently on the market, kind of fits a little bit of the Dungeon profile of a distressed asset. And Jonathan Kuminga is on the market right now. I don't know, though, if, like, I don't know. I don't have any sourcing.
Yeah.
But, like, at least he, like, he passively played power forward for the Hawks in the playoffs.
He fits, like, a need that you have. You know what I mean? And the contract shouldn't be much.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, if you can get him for the mid-level, which it seems like the prices for all role players are coming down, that would be a pay cut for him. But I think based off of the market, it would probably be pretty fair value for him at the same time. I think that at this point, I wouldn't hate that signing if you're Portland. Like, at least you get a guy that plays a position that of need, where, like, we were all saying going into the summer, power forward was a need, and they still have not addressed that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying on that. Maybe that's the avenue they go down. They're already doing the, you know, change the narrative on certain guys. I think the other side, too, is just like, look, it's a bit of a negative viewpoint, but it's also realistic with what's happened, if you're just being honest, right? Do you worry about Rob Will and his injuries? Yep. Dame is 36. Next year's going to be his 37th year. He's coming off an Achilles. I hope he can stay healthy and play 82. I don't know if he will. Drew Holiday missed, what, 5 weeks last year? 6 weeks with his calf stuff on and off? Denny got his back hurt last year. And John Morant, I was like, what are you doing if, like, three or four of those guys miss substantial time? It becomes what you were last year, right? But maybe a worse version where you're doing the two-way, and I don't know how ready Young Hansen is. It's just a very – it's almost like Jalen Brunson, more so than the Spurs, broke his brain of, like, what if I just had a bunch of Jalen Brunsons out there? Whereas, like, as much as you're pointing to some smart stuff on the Spurs, I'm like, yeah, also – they have Wimby behind him, and it'd be really nice. I'd be cool with the guard thing if you had a Victor Wembanyama, but you don't. And they're still, Gundy, we're sitting here today, they're still not addressing their shooting problem. Like, you can tell me Dame's a better shooter than anybody they had. That's fine. Who else is going to shoot for them? Because I don't know who to trust.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Ja hasn't exactly been a great three-point shooter, and that is going to be the key to Ja aging well, is him shooting threes. Because if he can't leap through the air like he used to because he doesn't want to get hurt, then he's got to be able to learn how to shoot if guys are going to go under on screens. And, like, you know, Scoot had that, like, you know, week or so, you know, 10 days where he was struggling to shoot and people were going under everything, and then he kind of worked through that and figured that out. Like, we've seen Scoot Henderson be able to hit pull-up threes against defenses that are daring him to shoot. I don't know that we've seen that from John Morant yet, as crazy as that is to say. I think that there's a lot of questions here. I think this team is very unconventional. I don't know how they're going to defend at the same level. And I think the injury risks are very valid. And, yeah, the shooting thing, I mean, I guess this guy from Oklahoma City, he takes like 2 threes a game, but he can kind of shoot. I guess maybe they're also betting that, hey, Klingon, what he showed last year is something that they can continue to build upon to get shooting and spacing that way with Klingon, who was pretty good from the three last year for a big guy. They didn't address it by adding personnel, which is what you thought. And in fact, they lost Jeremy Grant, who, like, for all of the, the talk about his contract and how people, you know, wanted him gone for, you know, several years at this point.
Right.
Like, the guy shot 39% from three last year.
Yep. Yep. And he's 6'8".
And he's 6'8". And it's like, you know, he had to do a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't have had to do. But so they're losing a positional fit there for this John Morant thing. And it could, maybe it'll be cool, but, like, I definitely have my doubts about the defense.
Yeah. I mean, you should have your doubts about the defense, even with Tamani and Donovan and Drew. But, like, I still largely have a lot of doubts. A couple more for you, because we appreciate the extended time and hanging out with you this morning. Looking at kind of the free agency thing and how it's all shaking out, how many teams would you, like, confidently, I'm not going to put the whole gun to your head thing, how many teams confidently would you say are worse than the Blazers today in the West? Because I could only name two.
Okay. I mean, I would say New Orleans, Sacramento, Memphis, and I would also put the Clippers behind them for sure, and the Suns.
Why? The Suns were better than us last year. We just beat them in the play.
They did beat them in the play-in. I don't know if, like, I don't know if I see, like, year two, like, as much as I was big on the Suns last year, just because their over-under was so low, and I was like, Devin, but, like, I do think Devin Booker is maybe not as good as he once was.
Yeah.
I think that he, like, it looked like he lost the step in both in the play-in game. Like, the fact that he passed up that last shot to Jalen Green was, like, kind of a red flag to me.
That was crazy.
Phoenix was a great story last year, but they also seem like a team that, like, everyone's now believes in them, and the second we all believe in them, then they're going to start disappointing.
Yeah. Last one for you. What did you make of USA getting Balogun back for the Belgium match today and having the red card overturned?
I mean, it's great to be a host country in FIFA is kind of my takeaway. I remember when I was a little kid, hearing from my older brother and my parents about how, you know, FIFA robbed Italy because South Korea was a host country and they were just fouling the Italians and bloodying them up and they got away with one. And they were saying this at the time and it was like, well, you know, when you're the host country, you get to do things like this. And so I think that's what's happening right now. Obviously it's a little unusual because the president's literally making calls and bragging about it. But to me, this is also just like standard FIFA World Cup stuff that, if you followed the World Cup for a long time, this is pretty standard behavior for a host country to get beneficial treatment like this. So I'm not mad at it. I'm excited for this game. I was at the Senegal-Belgium game in Seattle last week, and incredible atmosphere. So I'm very excited for the game and rooting for USA.
Yeah, I saw you. Your seats look pretty good. I wanted to ask how much you spent, but I'm not going to pry into your finances. But they didn't look cheap. I'll just say that much.
they were a lot cheaper than what the tickets are going for the USA game. I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Good stuff. Eric Gunderson, our guest, Blazer Banter. Follow him on Twitter, at Blazer Banter. Subscribe to the newsletter as the Blazers are out on Rui Hachimura and almost anybody else that can fill the void as of now. But, hey, wait and see. It's July the 6th. Let's not anybody freak out here. Good stuff, Gunny. Thanks for joining us, man.
Appreciate it, Sprague. See you later.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Eric Gunderson on the Blazers offseason thus far. Rui Hachimura is a Clipper, and so more and more, day by day by day by day, we wait to see who they're going to fill the wing and the forward spot with. It's 9:22. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 9:28, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Dirt will be back tomorrow. Swag will be back tomorrow. So the show, as usual. It's fascinating, man. A lot going on in sports. USA is hated by the world, again. But for this time, a sport we're not normally even cared about in football. The World Cup has taken a stranglehold over America. We got USA and Belgium tonight, 5 o'clock. And then before that, you'll be able to see who they play if they can beat Belgium between Spain and Portugal. Having conversations on the air and off the air with a lot of people on the Blazer stuff and just how it almost feels like a universal, I don't know what's happening right now and I don't like it, but it's happening. And so we got to try to make sense of it because we just talked to Gundy. How would you feel about them bringing Kuminga, by the way, just as like a last minute, he's going to play for a better deal next year, 1 year cheap contract. How would that make you feel?
I can see a case for that to make sense. I still think we're still small. And is he a shooter?
You know, he had some moments with Atlanta, right. But like largely, what is the market telling us about almost any player? The NBA is an odd spot right now. By the way, local recruiting news, we'll get to that tomorrow. I'm going to get a guest on for Oregon. Got another 5-star. And
shocker.
A what?
Shocker.
Oh. I thought you said something else there, man.
No.
Yeah, Oregon cleaning up and recruiting. Breaking news, right?
Right.
But I believe they are... Are they not? I thought I saw that they were like right there in the running to be number one.
Yeah, I believe
they're
Dirt
number
said
three.
Top three. Yep.
They're number three. They're behind Notre Dame and A&M. So Dirt will be back tomorrow. We'll try to maybe get a guest and talk some college football. We had somebody reach out last week who's like, man, I just need football to come back in my life. I'm like, hey, us too. We got what we got. We talk about the Blazers, the offseason, LeBroni, and the World Cup. We'll get into a little college football tomorrow with Oregon getting another big recruit and talk a little Ducks. But, yeah, man, the Kuminga thing would be hilarious just from the distressed asset narrative and then, like, the rehabilitation of Ja Morant paired with Jonathan Kuminga. Here's the other part that like everybody knows but continues to kind of wonder and speculate about. Does anybody have any earthly idea how Denny and Dame are doing off ball? If Jaw's at a 93 usage rate? Scoot Henderson had a nice little end to his season, right? Before he went scoreless in game three or game four. He had a little heater run there. What if he comes out slow out the gate? What if he's not shooting better than 33% from three? Like, then what are we thinking? Shaden. How many minutes is Shaden going to play a game? We couldn't play him 6 minutes in the playoffs. Now we've added another guard in the lineup. We're going to play him? You know, and Tamani and Donovan, you have clearly as an organization said you are excited about Ja Morant, but also as an organization, you have basically said Donovan and Tamani untouchable. Okay. Donovan better be at a certain caliber. Tamani is a great defender, close to being all NBA defense again. But, like, is 14 points a game good? Is that good enough? When you say untouchable in that league, I think we get, and I'm not just talking about Portland, I think a lot of teams do this. They get way too over in the, oh, it's our guy, we develop, like, and I'm not saying that trading Jaylen would have netted them a better end result than keeping Tamani. But when you make decisions as an organization to in a roundabout way, say to the world, Tamani and Donovan are untouchable. All right, well, then let's see the untouchable now. Let's, like, that can't just be, hey, he's a really good defender who can shoot 37% from three on four attempts per game. It's got to be a little better than that for me. Donovan, like, how much can his game grow offensively? Is he going to become a Brook Lopez where he just fires away 7 to 8 threes a game and shoots a good percentage while still holding down the fort and the paint defensively? Like, for me on that term, that's not a term I would be throwing around loosely. And I'm not saying the team did it, just leaks happen. The takeaway this offseason is that the organization deemed them untouchable. So there's going to be a heightened expectation with their production as well, paired with how the hell you solve this guard situation, paired with who are they bringing in to solve their wing problem. So it's a lot of moving parts on a July 6th, but it's kind of where we sit with everything.
Yeah, kind of talked about it earlier, how we're just kind of sitting here waiting for something to happen. And then, of course, another, it seems like every prospect,
every name
every,
we throw out,
every
gets signed
name
by
you
somebody
think
else.
We're gonna have a shot at it,
yeah, because we're talking about Rui earlier,
exactly,
2 years, 28 with the Clippers. If you missed that,
exactly.
So there's no doubt, like, every time I feel like we bring it up, it becomes, oh my god, could this be it? And I said it to you earlier, and I really believe it. I think when you say, like, oh, we thought they were going to do the all-in move, I think they're going to tell you at the press conference, John Morant was their move.
The all-in move.
In fact, go back to Shams Charania on ESPN, whatever you make of Shams Charania. He said it on SportsCenter. They view this as their move. I don't feel like he says that unless he's reading that from a text from somebody very plugged in and important, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my takeaway. So if they, you know, sneak up and get Trey Murphy for Shaden in one pick, and we're like, whoa, I thought it was going to be three picks. Cool, that's a good value trade. Cronin's after it. But if it's roll the dice on fill in the blank for no money, we're going to say the Ja Morant trade was the trade.
Right.
And that was the move. It was just not a move all of us. Because I was talking with Danny about this off the air, and I know he'll talk about it on his show, but me and him can disagree on little elements. We're both largely sitting in the same, like, what? Whether you think this is all Dundon, because I've heard that. I've heard the distressed asset thing, and I understand Carolina, when he bought the team, there was, I forget the name of the player, there was a player out there that was really highly regarded. He got into some trouble, and they picked him up. The narrative now is Tom Dundon, distressed asset. That's a thing you've heard and you're going to keep hearing. The problem with that narrative is, like, his Stanley Cup team was pretty, I text Dirt, I'm like, that wasn't distressed assets. He's like, no, those are really good players. They just picked him up, they built it, they took a couple shots, and they finally hit the top. So it's not like every player that he gets is a distressed asset. I understand the narrative behind it because of Ja. But, like, me and Danny can agree or disagree on what are the points. We still come to the same conclusion of, like, I have no idea what they're doing. And if they don't make some kind of move we don't see coming because they operate in darkness, I don't know, man. It's a weird pivot to go from having a press conference where you talk about length and wings to off-season, your big swing is a 6'1 guard who's oft injured, had some off-court dealings. Hopefully it's all behind him. He says as much in the Jason Quick piece. But you're running 4 point guards and 5 guards total. It's a very weird spot that no matter how you feel or you define it, a lot of people are coming to the same conclusions of, this doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're pro-Cronin, anti-Cronin, whatever, Cronin, it's been lengthy, wings, right? Then the Dame thing happened, and that was kind of like one of my first, like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Right now? Because Dame was not going to play last year. We knew that.
Yep.
And even though Milwaukee bought him out, I didn't know if I expected him to sign with anybody unless there was a huge hot market for him because it's Dame Lillard, right?
Right.
But okay, I get it. It's the comeback story. It's to get, you know, win fans back over. I do think it was a bit of a PR move paired with, well, we think Dame can be good again.
Absolutely.
Okay. That was my first, like, And then Drew's still here. Scoot's still around. Now Denny's kind of a point forward. And Ja Morant, like, okay, all right. Well, we'll see, man. We'll see. But it's one of the more puzzling, interesting off seasons for me, I'm not going to say ever or in 20 years or whatever, but, like, mm-hmm. If this is it, I won't know how to, I won't know what to make of it other than like I get it from a shot creator ball handling standpoint. I don't really get it past that. And if you don't have shooting, cool. Like, why do I need to collapse a lot of guys on Ja? Has he proven to be stay healthy? Like, let him go one on one and jump against a 6'4" guard. How is Ja Morant going to do when Dylan Harper's guarding him?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to take him inside and dunk on him?
Maybe.
Maybe. I also don't have a lot of evidence he can do that much.
Right.
You know why? I'll just use me as an example. Ja Morant has not been healthy. Ja Morant is probably my height.
Yeah.
If I dunk on a 9-foot hoop, my back hurts a little bit. I can't imagine what it means to jump 40-some inches as somebody this height dunking on guys year after year after year. I'd imagine that starts to like, oh, you know what I mean? Like when you get up off the couch wrong, you're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
You get that little like momentary. I bet that's what Ja Morant feels from time to time dunking. So
probably.
A lot of eggs in the oft-injured basket with Rob Will, Dame off the Achilles, Drew missed significant time last year. Ja Morant has only played 79 games in 3 seasons. Like, there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, that was another problem with the team last year is that we couldn't be healthy.
That was a big problem.
For 90% of the season. And now you're looking at this roster and you're like, well, we're still kind of.
If three guys get hurt, we're
in trouble again.
And you can say that about any team, but we've put ourselves in a weird spot of specifically guy that hasn't stayed healthy, guy that hasn't stayed healthy, guy off an Achilles, older player.
Right.
Who's very physical.
And we basically traded one that was injured most of the time for another one that still can't stay on the floor.
It'd be very Blazer of us to post the We Miss You Wolverine meme with Jeremy Grant when he's averaging like 16 a game in Memphis. And Memphis is like a fun 10-2 start team.
They have a Cam Hornets Boozer's type playing of season.
Well. Yeah, they have like a Hornets type of year. Jeremy's shooting 38%. Jaws played 33 games. Wolverine meme. I miss you, Jeremy Grant. Be very Blazer us. To have that. We wrap it up, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right, welcome back in. We wrap it up, Dirt and Sprague here, our final segment of today's radio program. We got the Firm, Happy Hour, Primetime all ahead. A loaded docket on the Fan Sports Network. Dirt will be back tomorrow. Swag will be back tomorrow. Brandon Breezy Henson, B. Dot, B. Henson, B. Breezy, you name it, he goes by it. This is his last show with us for... When is Swag? I don't even know
for
when Swag's
a while.
Out again.
I think Swag's back for the rest of the summer. So it'll be a minute unless he has a one-off that he needs some help covering. But, yeah.
Well, you've been great.
Thank you, sir.
I, 5 out of 5. Certified fresh.
Thank you, sir.
I would give you a good review on Yelp. Knows what he's doing, that Breezy. Liked his nicknames. Poll questions are up. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. There's a handful of them. Blazers and World Cup related. Who is your golden booter? Is it Messi, Mbappe, Haaland, or Kane? I love the Harry Kane story. I think I'm going Mbappe.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much younger he is than Messi. And he's
right
going to crush
heels.
His
he's gonna, as soon as Messi retires, he's going to pass him.
Haaland's been exceptional, too, when he gets the ball and gets those touches.
He's the Thor of the World Cup.
Yeah, not a good look this weekend for the Oregonian. I would just say this as a subscriber to the paper, having to do the apology editor's note of the Jailblazers, Bill Orme kind of going through it with some of the Ja Morant signing stuff that he did, the Jailblazer note. And I'm just saying as a reader and as somebody friends with other readers, it's not really so much like the Jailblazer term. People jokingly use that. To me, it was more just like acting as if, acting as if he'd come out of prison straight to the Blazers. And just like what kind of sense that can create or what kind of vitriol that creates, the narrative-based stuff. I also thought it was interesting the editor was defending it on social media and then like 48 hours doing a note to the editor thing apologizing. I just found the whole thing bizarre. I'm friends with a lot of people over there. Well, not a lot of people, but I'm friends with some people over there. And so I thought it's very, the tone has been very weird and off-putting, a little too extreme. And so I don't know. I saw the note, the editor note, and I just was like, yeah, this is about right, about where it was coming from. So wanted to note that I saw that, and I thought it was not great, the approach we were taking with getting Ja Morant. You don't have to like Ja Morant as a trade, as a pickup. You can say it's a bit of a gamble from the roster fit. but never been arrested. And yeah, distressed asset in a sense of like what it took to get him. Yeah, some off the court issues, sure. But I thought it was a bit far. It's my two cents on that. And so glad they corrected the record, but also just odd how it all kind of was handled last week or so.
Just a weird week over there.
Very weird week. Yeah. So that, you know, there's my thoughts on that. World Cup action tonight.
Here we go.
We are the cheaters of cheaters.
Everyone hates us.
Yeah, they hate us because they ain't us.
Mm.
Balogun, stick it in that anus. Let's go. Right up Belgium. Let's go. Come on.
No waffles all weekend.
No Belgian waffles allowed. We're going pancakes only. Look, I'm going to pick us. Right, do I know if we'll win? Sounds like Jake Zivin. If you missed that interview, you could check it out. 1051thefan.com. Zivin says, we lost a friendly 5-2 to Belgium. So the Fighting Waffles, they've beaten us before. They handled us pretty good. I like it, though. I mean, I bet England yesterday and Mexico against Mexico. I'm betting the USA and USA because I'm not going to bet against us. But we got our best player back, and you don't have to like the ruling, but it happened, and he'll play. And I've seen zero about the appeal, so it sounds like it was a meaningless appeal. Where are you at on Belgium, USA tonight, 5 o'clock up in Seattle?
Well, I love us now that we have got Balogun back. I think I was on the fence without him on the field, but that was a huge get for us. I think I have every reason to think we should win this game. We've got the home crowd.
Mm.
We've been playing better than Belgium has so far in this tournament. I just fear for our defense because I know that's our weak link.
Yep.
And they have a lot of experience on that side, so they can easily expose us there. And it's going to be kind of the same scenario. You know, if we got to score first, I feel like once we score first, we kind of get comfortable into our strategy, and then we execute. So if the longer it goes 0-0, it's kind of been the story for a lot of these knockout round games. The longer it goes 0-0, or if they score on us first, that's when all the pressure starts to have an effect.
Mm.
And so that'll be interesting early. It'll be interesting to see how the officiating happens for that match now with the whole Balogun drama. It'll be interesting to see what the officials do as far as how aggressive they allow players to be. I feel like it's been kind of hit or miss on some are a little bit more on top of it and try to correct it right away. And then there's others like the Paraguay-France game where it's just it's a street fight basically. And you can just swipe at Mbappe whenever you want and no call. So that'll be interesting. But I do like our chances. I think we've got everything to win this match. This is a very defining program-like match for us to win. And then after that, you know, then we're handling the really big boys with Spain and Portugal.
Portugal and Spain.
Belgium is no one to sleep over.
You
so
know
it's
what,
gonna
though?
Be close. It's gonna be good.
What did you make? So I know a lot of people are like, and I'll put myself in this category, like learning still elements of soccer, right?
Yeah.
What did you think? Because Portugal and Spain play this afternoon.
Yep.
And if we beat Belgium, we play the winner of that match in the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of the second goal disallowed by Croatia against Portugal?
Oh, man.
I understand most of offsides. I don't always like it. In fact, I will say this. Being an ugly American, I actually think offsides should not exist if you're in the box. I saw somebody with that take, and I was like, I kind of agree with that because you don't want cherry picking. But I agree that like if you're there and you got open, you're right near the goal. That being said, ugly American out. I didn't think that was offsides by Croatia because I didn't think he touched the ball. So I didn't think it was a pass. And I was devastated because I was rooting for Croatia in that match.
I wanted that to keep going.
I hated that they took that away.
I know. Yeah. I think it's interesting because usually we're so used to having visual video evidence.
I thought it showed that it didn't hit him.
But the fact that now they have the technology to have a chip in the ball to show if it's been touched. Do I believe that? Maybe.
Mm.
Is it?
Who's better to go on, Croatia or Ronaldo? You know what I mean? What's better for your television network?
Yeah, there's been a lot of that kind of
It's
FIFA
such a corrupt
dictating.
Entity, man, and we benefited from this corruption. It's so corrupt and so nasty and gross. But here we are. We got Belgium. We're on the doorstep of getting to the quarterfinals and trying to maybe take down Spain or Portugal if we can get past the Belgians. I got a buddy that lives in Belgium, or at least he came over from a high school exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
And good dude. I don't think he lives in Belgium anymore, but just like was as pro-Belgium as you could be when he was in high school, Brussels.
Right.
And I've thought about shooting in an email randomly, unsolicited, USA, US, like a million USAs with, you know, other than like obvious context is let's crap talk to one another because I haven't seen him in years. But I thought about reaching out to him because it's funny that Belgium ended up lining up with USA in the bracket. But I'm looking forward to it, man. I want it to be a great soccer match and I want us to win 3-1.
I like that.
Could we just like get the goal in like the 89th minute? Stoppage time be damned, that makes it 3-1, and oh my gosh, we're going to do it, we're going to go to the quarters. Like, it'd be great to wake up tomorrow doing a radio program talking about how, for the first time, that would be the farthest we've been, right?
I believe so, yeah. Yep, I think the quarter
we'd be like
finals,
Norway.
Yeah, the quarterfinals has kind of been, has been the far. I believe we've done it once before. I think 2002 was a quarter, we got to the quarterfinals, but that was also before the expansion this year. But yeah, I believe that would be the farthest the U.S. has ever gone.
Well, in 1930, so we got to the semis.
Yeah.
But come on.
Outside of that.
How many teams were in?
I mean, that was the only good year.
Yeah, the quarters in 02 is the furthest we've gone. So let's get back to that, and let's try to take down a giant in Portugal or Spain. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be a good time. We'll have a lot more tomorrow. Quickly, will the Blazers do anything between now and our show tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Good take, right take.
Good take, right take.
Expecting that.
Dirt back in the on the saddle. Swag back from his Italian vacation. I'm sure we'll hear all about how he swam 500 inches from his boat, but it's really 500 yards in his mind. And thanks for hanging with us today. It's been a fun show. A lot of Blazers, a lot of World Cup. Then text line 503-864-6326. That's going to do it for us. You got The Firm coming up next. Happy hour, prime time. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m. This has been Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.